Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will be with us at 7:30 on the program. Charles Robinson, for his weekly visit, will be with us at 8. We'll get into the Titans, the NFL trading deadline, all things NFL with him. So looking forward to all that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, the original college football playoff rankings for this season are out, and Vanderbilt at number 16 on the list here. So you've got Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama is your top four. You have Georgia. You've got Ole Miss, BYU. You've got Texas Tech, Oregon, Notre Dame, Virginia, and Memphis rounding out the top 12 there. Joe, I have seen some Vanderbilt fans that look at the original rankings and have said, you know what? Even if Vanderbilt goes 10-2, there could be a real problem, potentially, a real discussion point of them not making the college football playoff. And I've seen some Vanderbilt fans freaking out over it. My question to you is, what do you make of that? Should they be freaking out over it?
Freaking out, no. I right now today, and this is just because there's just so many things we don't know what will happen, but like it would take a whole bunch of things to happen against Vanderbilt. To me, it's unlikely all of them will happen. Just knowing, you know, all the things that are going to happen, some will be surprising, some won't be surprising. I'm pretty confident right now in saying if Vanderbilt finishes 10-2 with a win at Tennessee, they will be in the playoff. I know right now, whatever their, you know, their chances are, you know, I think like in the 20s, right? But again, that's also, they're going to not be favored to win the game at Tennessee. That's mostly why that's where their chances are pegged, because probabilities suggest that they will end up, you know, 9-3 at best, is going to lose the game at Tennessee. If they win at Tennessee at the end, after winning the next two games, by the way, and I think it's a huge one Saturday. You know, it's a big deal Saturday. Just not sure what to expect from Auburn. But if they end up 10-2, they're going to be in the playoff. I'm confident in saying that. Can I say that with absolute 100% certainty? No. I mean, you know, there's some things that certainly could, like the, I mean, there's a few things. One, Robbie, is, you know, the ACC and the Big 12, first of all, you obviously want them to be one-bid leagues. I think that's what the ACC will be. But, you know, you've got Virginia in there right now. You've got Louisville in there with one loss. I mean, Georgia Tech in there with one loss. You know, so you want to root for, you know, basically teams that keep taking L's and not have that opportunity. The Big 12, I think there's a pretty good chance they get two, but Texas Tech and BYU play this week. Texas Tech has a loss. I suppose the best rooting interest there would be BYU and give Texas Tech a second loss. You know, and the Big 12 could end up a one-bid league. I think the thing where it could get dicey is, like, for example, Oklahoma. Now they're in position. Now they go to Alabama.
Yeah.
Right? I think they're going to take their third loss on that day. When they go to Alabama, that is next week. And you know, there's people talking about them being a 9-3 potential. I mean, they have Missouri and LSU after that. I don't think they're, you know, like I don't think 9-3 Oklahoma gets in over 10-2 Vanderbilt. I don't think so. You look at what Oklahoma has done before this. I mean, Texas, frankly, probably didn't dominate them any more than they dominated Vanderbilt, but it's 23-6 versus a 3-point game. You know, they lost at home to Ole Miss. They don't have great wins. You know, the best one they have is at Tennessee. If Vanderbilt matches that and Oklahoma loses at Bama, just like Vanderbilt, well, then tell me why 9-3 Oklahoma's in over 10-2 Vanderbilt. I don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, Texas is the other one. You know, again, both of those teams sitting there with two losses right now. If Oklahoma were to win out, and then what if Texas goes in and, like, beats Georgia and then beats A&M? Georgia and A&M are not, like, they're both fine. Georgia and A&M both have one loss. They're both getting in, I think, with two. Now Texas has two, and they beat Vanderbilt. That could be problematic. But do I think Texas is going to go win at Georgia and beat Texas A&M? No, I do not.
Right. Can somebody explain to me why Notre Dame's in right now? Is it because they've lost against two good teams? Like, and by the way, Miami might not be all that good. Like, is that why they're in? I mean, look, say what you will about Texas. Texas absolutely has better wins than Notre Dame does. Absolutely. I mean, there's no debate about it. Can somebody look, Notre Dame's probably going to finish the rest of their season without another loss. And at that point, if they end up 10-2, the way that things are going to shake out, they're probably going to get in and should be in at that point. But right now, like, can somebody explain to me right now why Notre Dame's number 10?
No, it's a great question. They're overranked. Actually, it's funny because if you remember a year ago, it actually reminds me of Texas a year ago, because everyone, like, Texas was way up there, and it's like, who, what are their wins? They won at Michigan early, so everybody's like, oh my God. But then we realized Michigan wasn't good, and Texas had like no, I mean, honestly, Texas's best win until the end was a game at Vanderbilt, which, you know, a good win, but it's still, you're talking about a, you know, what? Was Vanderbilt 6-6 or 7-5 the regular season? I don't know.
Six
but regardless, so it reminds me of that, and I'm with you. Look, the two losses are good, but like you said, the Miami loss doesn't look as good. Texas A&M is a good loss, but yeah, what else? Okay, they blew out Arkansas on the road. You know, they beat USC. I mean, USC is a good team. They beat them, but like, that's their best win.
Yeah.
So
Texas has beaten Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, who are absolutely both better wins than USC.
No question. No, Texas should be ahead of them. I mean, look, does Vanderbilt not have better wins than Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And does not have two losses? No, Notre Dame's overranked without question. And eight spots ahead of Miami, I have a problem with two. I understand Miami just lost at SMU and they're not playing well. But, yes, they are the example of overranking for sure right now. I'm with you. If they win out, they should be in. I will tell you, let's not dismiss assistant to the regional producer, defensive coordinator of the show, Pat Narduzzi, because Pitt is good. They have a freshman quarterback who is a stud, Henschel, and they got Notre Dame coming in next week to their place. Now, you know, that's, you get into that. If Pitt wins, now there's another ACC team that you have to take seriously. Also that would knock out Notre Dame. There is an opportunity there for Notre Dame to lose.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I just saw that, and I was like, what? Like, again, 10-2 at the end of the year, with the way things probably shake out, Notre Dame probably is in at that point. But now, like right now, they're already number 10. I just found that stupid with the first college football playoff ranking that was out the other day. Look, if you're Vanderbilt and you go 10-2, if you went out here, I still like your chances to get in. I still like your chances to get in the college football playoff. Yeah, I guess there's a scenario where a bunch of things happen against you where you could be left out at 10-2. But I would imagine if you're 10-2, you're going to feel pretty good about your chances to get into the tournament if you're Vanderbilt at the end of the day. Now, can they get to 10-2? We'll see. Again, look, I know that Auburn hadn't been very good, but they fired their coach, and it's college football, Joe. It's not like Auburn is devoid of talent. I'm really interested to see what Auburn looks like this week in the aftermath of Freeze being fired.
Yeah, I know they're going with the other QB. They've announced that. DJ Durkin, interim coach. What a wonderful choice that is for Auburn. You just don't know. They have talent. I saw this stat. So there are three teams in college football that have not allowed more than 24 points. Ohio State, Indiana, and Auburn this year. And obviously, their offensive struggles are well documented, but they have the kind of talent on defense that can come in and make it another game, maybe just like that Missouri game, you know, maybe just like that type of 17-10 game. Maybe not. I mean, they have struggled. I mean, look, Vanderbilt went in there to their house last year, didn't let them run the ball at all, and Pavia totally controlled that game. So maybe that happens again. Too bad for Hugh Freeze. He doesn't get a chance to finally beat Pavia for, you know, his 11th chance or whatever it is to beat Pavia, and he keeps losing. But maybe Auburn also is, yeah, like they're going to rally together, and this is a chance to actually spoil someone's hopes. And that's when you're a team like Auburn, that's what you're reduced to, spoiling their thing, spoiling Bama's thing in the Iron Bowl. I think it could be a very interesting game.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Vanderbilt left out of the original college football playoff rankings. How concerned should Vanderbilt be that maybe they get left out of the dance at 10-2? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. Andrew Burnett coming up at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see the Belmont men's basketball team take on TSU this Saturday at the Curb Event Center. Tip off at 7 o'clock. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Belmont take on Tennessee State this Saturday at the Curb Event Center. Also, DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday, prior to the Monday Night Football game, Monday night's matchup, the Philadelphia Eagles against the Green Bay Packers. Big one in the NFC, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Vanderbilt left out of the initial college football playoff 12. How worried do they need to be moving forward if they finish 10-2 that they could still miss out on a spot? Taking your thoughts on all that, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, the Auburn game, going to be very interesting to see not only how Vanderbilt responds after a loss, but how does Auburn respond after the head coaching part of this? And then, you know, what does Tennessee do the rest of the way? They've got a bye week this week. They got New Mexico State coming up. They got Florida on the road, a place that they have not won in a very long time. And then a chance at the end of the year, if Vanderbilt wins the next two games, if you're Vanderbilt, if you beat your arch rival, you're probably in the college football playoff. And if you're Tennessee, if you beat Vanderbilt, you're definitely knocking them out of the college football playoff. So, Joe, it's not exactly the same thing that we were looking for slash hoping for a week ago, where Vanderbilt and Tennessee, for the winner having a spot in the college football playoff being on the line for both teams. But it still could be pretty spicy in Knoxville at the end of the year. Did we lose Rex?
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're back.
This is...
You're back. Okay. It's all good.
I heard none of that.
No, I'm just saying, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, not the same stakes maybe that we thought
this
a week ago.
Wi-Fi is trash.
But the game at the end of the year still could be pretty spicy in Knoxville if Tennessee has an opportunity to take Vanderbilt out of the running for the college football playoff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not exciting for Vols fans. You know, yay, let's ruin Vanderbilt's season. But you got me still?
I do.
Okay, this is saying Zoom crashed. Would you like to send a report on the Zoom crash? Great. I guess it didn't crash.
At the first or second laptop?
This is the old one, because unfortunately I still have to use this crap. Yeah, I mean, it'll be spicy. I mean, certainly. Again, I know that's not comforting for Tennessee. You know, to me, it's just like, you know, there's another rival before then, so that's another, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, if you can go down and get a win in Gainesville, that'd be something about this season you could remember, you know? Doesn't happen much with Tennessee.
Not.
But, yeah, I mean, we were hoping that we were going to have a win-and-in showdown with the Vols and Commodores. We won't have that. Again, I still think by the time we get to that game, I think enough things will have broken Vanderbilt's way, because a lot of the things that need to break their way are things that are likely to happen, that we'll know basically that, like, if Vanderbilt wins, they're going to be in. Maybe not with 100% certainty, but a high likelihood, which of course gives Tennessee a chance to spoil that. And again, I just, especially after watching Vanderbilt play defense at Texas last week, I know that, like, that was an especially bad tackling game, and that hasn't been their identity this year, to be that deficient in terms of tackling and stuff like that. But I do watch that game, and I just think Vanderbilt's offense is going to have to be incredibly good to have a chance to win what I can't imagine would be anything but a shootout in Knoxville.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously you lose to Texas. Texas has the most difficult path remaining here. You got on the road at Georgia coming up next week, and then you have Texas A&M at the end of the year. So you're talking about obviously an undefeated A&M team on the road at Georgia. It's two top five teams that you got to take on here if you're Texas. So if Texas finds a way to win both of those games, then not only are they in, I mean, we're talking about them being a pretty high seed at that point. Just after everything that's gone on with them this year, if they found a way to win both of those games, which I'm with you, I believe is extremely unlikely, then they're in with flying colors at that point. I mean, I guess I'd, you know, at 9-3, having lost to Ohio State on the road, you lost to Florida, and what if you lose against Georgia on the road, but you beat Texas A&M at the end of the year? Is there an argument at that point, Joe, for a 9-3 Texas team over a 10-2 Vanderbilt team?
Yeah, there is. And Texas fans will certainly say, well, we beat them. Like, they didn't play Ohio State on the road. We did. And so, yeah, there would be a case. Now, they both could get in too, by the way. But, yeah, if you wanted to isolate it to Texas Vanderbilt, you could. You could definitely make that case if that's how it that's how it shakes out. So, yeah, there's other things. But, yeah, Texas, I think, is definitely one of the ways, you know, that could make it a little tighter on Vanderbilt. And, by the way, you know, Texas are saying, what's the point of playing tough games and adding another SEC game if the rankings don't reflect it? And I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, if one team wins head-to-head, they have the same record, but the team losses ahead of them, why play the game? It didn't matter at all. Well, it did matter, but this is, and I think that Mac Rhodes didn't do a good enough job of this the other night when he was asked. Like, the reality of this is it's like basketball. They may not have a metric that says last 10 games like in basketball. They used to. They got rid of it. How you are playing currently absolutely factors into this. Miami's not playing well. Like, they don't look good. They just had a bad loss, and so they're falling. I get that they beat Notre Dame, but head-to-head doesn't – I don't think that those teams are equal, okay? I think Notre Dame is better right now, should be ranked higher. I just don't think they're eight spots better. And I think, like you said earlier, Robbie, Notre Dame is too high in general. But, you know, the head-to-head thing, I mean – it has limitations. I understand same record, but yes, how a team is playing, and has a team gotten better or worse, like since an early season thing? I mean, that stuff matters, you know? And unfortunately, they don't do a good enough job, I think, of explaining that. They try not, they say we look at the whole resume, and they do, but if a team's red hot and kicking everybody's butt, but it looked bad in September, but it's clearly a better team in November, there's something to that. That they never acknowledge is a big deal, but I believe it is a big deal.
Well, that's why I've always said, which again, there are cases where I think that that's valid, and honestly, there are cases where I think that that's total bullcrap in the way that they explain things. But I've always said, as much as it matters who you lose to, Joe, it also matters when you lose, and they can't tell me that, you know, they don't factor in losses earlier in the season differently than they do later. Like, it just. It seems to be human nature to react to those losses differently, whether that's right or whether that's wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't want to admit that, but it's like, I mean, there's so many examples of, like, you know, think about like the year when went back with the four team, like when Ohio State lost at home to Virginia Tech. If that game had happened at the end of the year, they don't get in, but they rebounded from it and they turned into a much better team. So again, I don't have a problem. I think they made the right choice there, but just acknowledge it. Like, teams change during the year. In some cases, it's because of injury. I think they made the right choice with Florida State. Again, there are people, I mean, most of the people I work with at the Athletics just screamed bloody murder about that. And I was like, you guys, you really think that that's the same team without their starting quarterback?
Right.
I understand what their record is. They shouldn't have been in. I'm glad they made that choice. Some people don't, but I mean, you have to look at what is a team. And that's another thing they talked about a lot the other night, Mac Rhodes. Like, I mean, the film. I mean, we got coaches, we're breaking down the film. And basically, he said Ohio State's ranked ahead of Indiana because, like, we look at their offensive line and up the middle, and their skill, like, basically just like, we just think they're better. We watch them and we think they're better, which I know pisses people off. You know, I would rather cold, hard metrics and data lead the way, and that stuff sometimes has to come into play. But I mean, they made it sound like it's really really heavily in play, just the eyeball test.
Well, it'll change next week. That's the thing we know about the College Football Playoff Committee. It just it changes.
That's probably true, too.
Week to week. The Commodores taking on Auburn this Saturday. Pregame at 1:30 on 94.9 The Fan with kickoff at 3 o'clock. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jim and Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette with us next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. A lot of hockey being played by the Nashville Predators right now. They're back at it again tonight at home, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Brunette to the program. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Doing great.
Are we getting any sleep at all, Andrew? How's that going right now?
You know what? My Apple Watch is saying no, not a whole lot. It gives me the warning in the morning.
Boy, a lot of hockey being played. We've talked about that a lot so far this season. I mean, in all seriousness, how are you, how are the players kind of handling all this with just the condensed schedule that, as you know, is not going anywhere at any point this year with the Olympics and everything that goes on in the schedule this year? But what's it been like to this point?
Well, I think we're managing it the best we can. Like you said, there's a lot of hockey. It's a crazy amount. And you throw in a little bit of travel. Obviously, we're heading to Sweden next week. So we're pretty busy. But, I think like every other team in the league, we're trying to manage it the best we can. We have a great staff with the athletic staff and the strength conditioning guys that we talk every day to make sure we're energized when – with what we're doing in practice and these off days. So we're trying to manage it.
So Andrew, I saw, your comments after the winning goal for Minnesota the other night, but is any more clarity since then? I mean, I guess as we stand right here, do you believe that was the wrong call?
I do. Yeah. I mean, that's my personal opinion. And I think I've been around the game long enough. It's over. You move on. There's nothing you can do about it. And, it's just the way he saw it differently, and that's the way it is.
Andrew, we know with goal scorers, sometimes you see one go in and that can open up the floodgates. How big do you hope that goal is for Stamkos the other night to tie the game up, and how much do you hope that kind of unlocks him here moving forward?
Well, I think it's huge for our hockey club. It was a real big goal, a crucial time here in a stretch of games that we're in. Like you said, how many nights, and we need as many points as we can get. So that was a huge goal. I think goal scorers normally, the ones I've all been around, this is something that you hope that sparks them. I like the way he was shooting the puck, especially the last part of that game, and one went in, and he's had some great opportunities. I don't even know how many crossbars or that he's missed here so far this year, and just sometimes it just takes one.
With him in particular, is it to the point, Andrew, where when he does something like that, that's even bigger for the team just because obviously everybody knows what he's been as a player in this league. It hasn't gone as hoped, since he's been in Nashville. Like, is there more, just because it's him, like emotional lift when something like that happens for the team?
Yeah, I believe so. I think he's been the ultimate pro. I think, obviously he doesn't. He's not happy where he's at right now, goal-wise, but he's never brought it to the rink. He's never brought it to the bench. He's never brought it to the ice. I mean, he gives what he gives his all every day. And I think guys see that, recognize that, and respect that. And I think when he scores a big goal like that for us, it's a big deal for a whole hockey team because I think we're all pulling for him. We all respect him tremendously, what he's done and what he does here every day with our group of younger players to see what a pro is at and what a winner does it day in, day out, how he treats his teammates, how he treats the game. And he does it exceptionally well. And so when a goal like that goes in at that time, there's only a few, I don't even know if there's another player I've ever played with that can make that shot he made the other night. And when we all see that, I think we're ecstatic for our hockey club, ecstatic for him, for the work he puts in and how he treats everybody else around him.
So, Andrew, it's been a few games now since you guys have kind of split up that top power play unit, and it seems to be going really well, not only from the goal-scoring perspective, but maybe some of the looks that you're generating as well. What do you like about what you're seeing right now with kind of the new-look power play that you guys have thrown out there?
Yeah, I think it's in really good rhythm. I think it's pretty good flow for them, every time they get out there. I think sometimes you know, they're a little break, it gets stale at times. I think the pressure they put them on themselves to be succeed is when they're all together, sometimes you get a little disconnected. So I think with the new group, there's some young and there's some old, and there's some guys that, you know, that are been, you know, maybe on the second unit now. We're kind of splitting units, and I think it's kind of refreshing for everybody right now. And, you know, like I said, I like the flow of it right as it's going here. So I think it was a good little refresher, and it's kind of rejuvenated a little bit.
What are you seeing so far from Matthew Wood?
Yeah, a lot, I mean, a lot of good. You know, you're excited for him from training camp on. Obviously, he had a little blip there with his injury. I think he's just a really intelligent player. Really good offensive instincts. Seen it from day one, seeing him. And he just seems to be more comfortable. Obviously, that goal the other day was a big goal for him, his first one, and I think he's kind of taken off a little bit. I think his puck strength too sticks out, his size. And he's got great poise with the puck. So there's lots to really like about Matthew Wood right now.
Andrew, I thought, you know, the first couple of periods, especially against Minnesota, you guys were probably as good as you've been all year in the offensive zone. Could have scored a lot of goals in that game. Did you feel like you guys took, you know, a big step in terms of your process in the offensive zone in that game?
Yeah, I think and I agree with you. It was a really good, you know, we didn't get rewarded, and I think we had a really good one in Philadelphia. I think we've seen bits and pieces of that. You know, that's kind of the game that we'd love to play night in and night out. It's hard, like you talked about a little bit earlier, that the amount of hockey to bring that kind of every night is tough. But I really like the resilience that we're building. You know, I think we've been in one goal games every game, even though we hated as a coach didn't, or disliked. The Tampa game, it's 2-1 heading down the stretch, and we put ourselves in positions every night to get points, and we're building a little bit of that resilience to us, and a little bit of Teflon by, you know, having a heartbreaker at home with 1 second left in overtime, and then going into Minnesota and scoring with 0.3. So we're kind of getting, you know, I hate to say used to, but we're getting comfortable in those uncomfortable positions, and that's a really good sign for our team offensively. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the last couple of years, it's been a lot of nights like that where we dominate through stretches of the game, and I thought the Minnesota game was one of them in particular, and we don't get rewarded. But I think hopefully our mindset going into these things is we did get rewarded at the end, and if we keep doing the things that we're doing, they will go in, and they hate hearing it from me because it's like a parent telling you that it never happens, but. That's why to get one the other night, I hope that sparks us. I hope it gives us a little bit of confidence going into the stretch of games here that if we continue to do the things we're doing, we continue to build a little bit of our identity, we will be rewarded.
Yeah, like I guess with, you know, maybe a younger, you know, when you have like the overtime losses like this, obviously stuff like that can maybe snowball in terms of, you know, like when are you going to get over the hump? I imagine that the veterans on this team help you in that regard in terms of that messaging, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they've been through it multiple different times, but I think you can go through it as a veteran player, but until you go through it together as a team, I think you still feel the same. You still feel like a little kid, even though you've gone through, you know, different parts of your career. I played for a long time, and it's with the guys in the room that you go through these things. You can say you've gone through it a million times, it doesn't work, you'll be okay. And until you go through it with your group, I think it's different. So I think we're still trying to learn that. I think we had a lot of heartbreak last year in a lot of different stretches with a lot of the same guys. And this year, it's a different vibe from this team. I've said that since day one. And we're kind of going out to prove it here night in and night out.
Andrew, I know you guys called up LaRue the other day, you know, a little bit of an injury bug going through the lineup right now. Do you expect him to play tonight? And what do you make of kind of where you guys are and how you're handling it from an injury standpoint?
Well, we've had so many games, and we've lost, you know, I think in our back end, we've losing Hägg for the stretch of games, you know, for basically all year. He finally gets healthy, then we lose Yost. So we've been banged up a little bit, especially in the back end. Up front, you know, Spinney's such a big core piece of our penalty kill and a lot of our identity stuff. So we're missing him and Zach. You know, he's played really well in Milwaukee, and we'll see what comes of him. And the amount of games, you want to make sure we have some reinforcements ready to go. So it's great to see him and great to see him in practice, and we'll see when we see him.
You know, Andrew, you know, we do a best and worst in sports. My worst was, basically feeling for Toronto Blue Jays fans. I don't know if I should bring that up or not, but anything you'd like to say? I mean, it was an incredible run, right? I mean, I know that's a tough one,
Yeah.
but what a season for them.
Oh, it was an unbelievable season. You know, I think a lot of lessons learned for me watching them as I watched them every day all summer at the lake and all through the playoffs. So a lot of lessons about team, you know, what a team is. I thought they're a team, an ultimate team. You know, as for the series, I obviously would have loved a different result, but it was great theater. I don't remember, you know, any other better World Series. I'm sure there's some moments, but those seven games were spectacular. I mean, you don't get off. You know, I was fortunate enough that we played in the afternoon last Saturday, so I got to see the whole game seven, and it hurt. It stung. You feel completely gutted. But I love baseball. I thought it was unbelievable theater. And yeah, it stings. I know Canada's in mourning, probably still now. Two things is that baseball's over, but also winter starts, and the snow's right around the corner. So I think. You roll the clocks back right in the winter back there and no daylight. But yeah, I know an unbelievable series. It was heartbreaking, but worth the ride.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, Andrew, thanks as always for your time. We really appreciate it, man. We'll see you later at the rink this morning, and thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Great catching up.
Yep. Predators head coach Andrew Burnett with us here on the program. We will take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode is coming up next. We've got Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. Charles is already ready to go, baby. We got the text flowing right now. Charles Robinson ready to go at 8 o'clock, talking all things NFL. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexrode, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Short shorts for the Oklahoma kicker the other night.
Who wears short shorts?
Tennessee football getting beat by a dude kicking field goals in a thong.
As we drove in, there was a big thong.
The thong song.
Let me see that thong.
Bulls are losing to a kicker with a thong. We ass, we in. We love, we ass. Very short shorts from the Oklahoma kicker.
Oh, my God. My ass is burning.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Now I feel like I should be ranting about the thong.
Well, there's still time.
I'll throw that in. I have a grab bag today. I mean, maybe grab bag is the wrong choice of words there, but you know what I'm saying. First of all, I'd just like to say, nice try, Big Joe, but we're on to you, buddy. He said he had some text. Now I've lost it. He's like, oh, I thought Andrew Burnett was a softball coach. Yeah, how many softballs you threw at him? And of course, he's trying to get me to melt down. But it didn't work. I know your number. And next time you do this, I'm just going to start saying your number over the air. I don't care. People can just, everybody can just text you personally.
There
and
you
just
go.
Bombard your phone line. How about that? Second thing. Okay. I think I have to, and we probably should ask actually Burnett about this. Cause I mean, for anybody who hasn't seen it, SNL had the Nashville Predators featured on Saturday. I thought it was a pretty funny segment. You know, maybe some people didn't, but I mean, it was, you know, it was a funny play on words for anybody who missed it. Essentially, it was like, what was it? A King,
a Ranger,
an LA King, a New York Ranger, and a Nashville Predator. And it was kind of like, I'm a King in my community. I'm a Ranger in my community. I'm a Predator in my community. And then, you know, continue the jokes from there. I must say Alex Doherty, a friend of the show, who does a great job covering the Preds. I did see where he like asked the Preds if they were going to change their name. I mean, really? Like, you have to just kind of roll with the punches on this, don't you? I mean, they've been called it.
I think it was a joke.
Okay. Alex, he tweeted it like, and it was like, it wasn't it in the headline? Yes. Or am I wrong that it wasn't?
No, it was in the headline.
I feel like that's doing a little bit more serious than you should go with something like that. Like, are you going to change the team name because of an SNL skit? So I don't know. I was a little bit like, really, dude? Really? You asked him if they're going to change the name? If it was all in good fun, then I'll retract that. But the main thing I want to talk about is I know this is just going to be heartbreaking for the people at YouTube TV. I am absolutely done. As soon as the NFL season ends and the Sunday ticket that I paid for is, the product is delivered, I will never be a YouTube TV user ever again. And look, I understand if you want to say lesser of two evils, I would agree that they're the lesser of two evils between them and, Disney / ESPN, although actually the company that owns YouTube TV, as our Andrew Marchand has pointed out, actually is like worth like a trillion as opposed to only like 20 billion or whatever for Disney or 200 billion, whatever. It's all ridiculous. It's great. It's incredible. It's gone this long. I was like, I can live through 1 week. Let's get it back. They still haven't figured it out. And the reality is this, like ESPN, you can hate them all you want. They have the rights. They have the games. Like, right? Yep. Like, I'm sorry, but at some point, like, well, I can't do my job if I don't have ESPN. Like, I cannot function in my job if I don't have that inventory, if I don't have access to the game. So when it comes down to it, YouTube TV, which I have liked a lot and I really like a lot about it, like, has lost someone forever. And I hope a lot of people are with me on that. I mean, like, there's got to be some kind of consequence, for this. I mean, look, I didn't really miss the Monday night game, but it was kind of a crappy Monday night game, right?
Yes.
You said the Packers Eagles is Sunday or Monday night this week?
Monday night.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to miss that. So, they better figure it out, but this is just absurd. And again, like, to me, if you as YouTube TV can't understand that, like, at some point, like you're not going to win the war with the rights holder to a large chunk of the most compelling sports in the country. You're not, like, at least with sports fans, it's not going to happen. And a big reason I got YouTube TV was because it was good for sports, the quad screen and all that stuff, but I'm done. I know that that's just heartbreaking for them, but I hope other people join me, never subscribe to them again.
The problem here is that what's ultimately going to end up happening here is they're either going to play hardball and people are going to get mad and they're going to miss out on games, or they're going to give in, and who's going to ultimately end up paying that price is you and me, right? Like the consumer. Yes. It's always the consumer that ends up paying the price, right? Because, I mean, look, YouTube and Google, and they're not interested in losing any money. Disney's not interested in losing any money. So if YouTube TV caves in here, which ultimately I think they're going to, then it's going to be more expensive. That's what it's it won't happen immediately, but eventually they're just going to go up on their price and get people to pay for that, and the consumer is going to be the one that ends up paying the bill for all of this, just like they do every time one of these disputes come up here. So that's the unfortunate part about all of this. It's, there's greed on both sides of this thing here, and ultimately the people who end up getting screwed by it are people who just want to sit back and watch sports.
And that's always going to be the case. We are always going to get screwed. The only thing that'll give me a tiny little bit of comfort is that YouTube TV takes a serious hit here. I mean, they've gone up. When they started, it was $35. I remember I have some friends who were there like right from the start, and now it's up to $82.
Yep.
And so again, you start adding up all the different apps and then compare it to what you used to pay just for cable to have everything. And we're getting to the point where, like, I guess I may just circle back around to cable / DirecTV, I don't know. But I need at some point to see that there was a significant hit to YouTube's business. And I understand people say, well, great, so Disney wins. But again, if you own the rights to the games, then, like, you win already, like ultimate, and they know that. And so you're right, Robbie. What's going to happen is at some point, YouTube will pay what ESPN's asking. And then eventually that'll be passed on. But I'm expecting to not be paying that. So I hope you join us.
615-737. Join me. Yes, join me. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We will get into all things NFL with him. There's a lot to get into with Charles, and we will do that. Speaking of the NFL, this Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week, the Patriots and the Buccaneers at noon on 102.5 The Game. NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.